Blog Talk Radio. day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, and God bless you, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, August the 21st, 2022. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook. I am the woman of God of this assembly, but as always, each and every Sunday, I am joined by some of God's most anointed servant leaders this side of the River Jordan in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and we would like to say a very special good morning to Bishop Lester Carver's mother, and we would like to say a special good morning to our dear friend Martin, who is listening in San Francisco. So on behalf of all of us, we'd like to welcome you to this morning's service, and right now I'm going to ask our anointed Apostle Zeta Flowers to open our worship service in prayer. Amen. Apostle Zeta?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. God bless you, everyone. Let us all bow our hearts and our heads, hallelujah, to go into prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning thanking you for all that you are and all that you do for us, your children. We thank you,
Lord,
for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
For each and every one of us. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for your presence in this service today.
Mm.
We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for each one that is listening in today. We thank you for the leaders that are in place. And we just thank you also for the head of this ministry, Apostle Shirlene Cook.
Bless
and we ask,
you,
Lord, that you move in a mighty way in this service today.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray, Lord, that your anointing will flow. In the name of Jesus, we pray that as the word goes forth, hallelujah, others will be blessed. We pray, Lord, that the hearers, hallelujah, will hear and that they will do according to your holy word. In Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we pray, Lord, for each one that is coming in, those that are not yet in the service. We pray for them, Lord, as they come in Jesus' name. And we just pray, Lord, for a glorious time, hallelujah, in your service today. In Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we thank you for it. We thank you
thank
for the
you,
outcome
Lord.
Of the service right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you have allowed some of us to go to the service and the ordination, hallelujah, of our dear brother that's officially becoming a pastor today. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We thank you for Pastor Kelly Jones in Jesus' name and the opportunity to serve there. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me?
cover me.
You cover me.
I appreciate it.
A mystery.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will never leave.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to see like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through.
Hey.
Everything's working for my good for a way.
Let me tell you what he does.
He saved the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah. Church saying, come on. Jesus loving you
will be the death of me.
It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Let me tell you what it means.
More less of me.
That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Father.
I don't wanna love nobody. Love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
he won't know. That's not what superheroes do.
See, I will never find
no greater love.
A love like this.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for our meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the highly esteemed mother of our church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come forth and read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I praise God for being here. I love each and every one of you, and I congratulate the soon-to-be Pastor Kelly on his inauguration. Thank you. The reading this morning is entitled, Know and Believe God Love, God's Love for You, and it's coming from 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now, you may know that God cares for you and loves you, and that he demonstrated his love for you by dying on the cross for you. But do you believe it? It is one thing to know about the love that God has for you, but another thing to actually believe in your heart.
Yeah.
It is one thing to know that the sun shines on us during the day, but it is another thing to believe that the sun is still shining even though we don't feel its warmth and all we see are black dark clouds. Sometimes we are slow in believing God's love for us when we are going through a tough time, but God wants you to know and believe that he loves you in the midst of the deal falling through, when the job is slow in coming, when the boss is fault finding, or when your child still refuses to come home.
My Lord.
In the midst of the pain, he wants you to know and believe that he is wholly on your side, defending, And if God, the most powerful thing in the universe, is for you, can anyone or anything come against you successfully? Perhaps you feel that you have messed up big time. God wants you to know and believe that though others may be angry with you, he will never be angry with you. Neither will he condemn you. The sum total of his anger against your sins fell upon Jesus at the cross.
Amen.
So he wants you to know and believe mm-hmm. that he will never punish you because Jesus was punished in your place.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel unworthy because you have just blown it for the umpteenth time, know and believe that your Heavenly Father still offers you the gift of no condemnation. So come boldly to his throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace.
Mm-hmm.
You can read about that in Hebrews 4:16. My friend, know and believe that since he loved you and died for you while you were still a sinner, in Romans 5:8, you can read more of that, as your worth and ugliness, how much more is his love for you now that you are his beloved child and the righteousness of God in Christ. And you can read about that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And the thought for today, if God, the most perfect thing in the universe, is for you, can anyone or anything come against you successfully?
Amen.
May God add blessings and favors upon the readers, hearers, and especially doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family on one accord, standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. We just praise God for the opportunity, hallelujah, to come together and pray, expecting God to move, believing what he has said, knowing that he can and he will show up and show out on behalf of his children. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you clear your minds and put your focus on our Lord and Savior and bow your hearts as we go to the throne of grace. Almost how we come right now in the name of your son, Jesus. First and foremost, Father, just praising you, glorifying you, not just for what you do, but for who you are in our lives. We praise you that you are Abba Father and that we live, move, and have our very being in you. And we praise you for your darling son, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's through his faith in him that we can come boldly to your throne of grace this morning. Now, before we go any further, Lord Jesus, we want you to search us. We want you, Lord God, to search us up and down, front to back, bottom to top. And if there is anything in us, Lord, anything that is unpleasing to you, Lord God, we repent. And we just ask that you create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit right now because, Lord God, we don't want anything to hinder our petitions, intercessions, supplications, and our prayers from your throne of grace. Now, Lord, we just come this morning thanking you for being Jehovah Rapha. We know that you are a healer, Lord God, of mind, body, and spirit. And, Lord, we know that when you see healing is needed, as long as one calls out on your holy name, you will heal them because it is not your desire that your children be sick, crippled, broken, depressed, discouraged, any of that, Father God. So right now, Lord God, we ask that you just be the lifter of those, the heads of those who are hurting this morning, who are desperate this morning, who may be suffering from an abusive relationship this morning. Father God, we know that you are Jehovah Nisi. You are our banner. You are our rescue. You are our victory, Father God. So I know that right now in the name of Jesus that you are stepping in and rescuing someone as we pray. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Lord, we just ask a special blessing upon our children, a special hedge of protection upon our children, Father God. They are bombarded with so many images and so many things today, oh God, that we just want you to be a protector. Protect them from the predators. Protect them, Lord God, from the information that would lead them astray. Lord God, we just pray that they would, hallelujah, want to know you and come to know you, Lord God, and walk boldly in you, even in their youth, so that they will not depart from it when they are old. Lord, I pray for the parents this morning. I pray for all of those who are raising children, Lord God. We know that it's not easy, Lord, but we know that you have a formula for everything in your holy word. So, Lord God, we just pray for them, strengthen them, encourage them, give them a double dose of patience, oh Lord God, so they can do what they need to do, Lord God. Hallelujah, to train up those children. And, Lord, we just pray for all of our elders today. Hallelujah. Lord, we honor our elders. We give them double honor, especially those that carry the gospel. Lord, I ask that you can continue to bless our elders. Fortify them, oh God. Give them a fire and a passion, Lord God, to continue to serve you in all that they do. Help them to know and understand that as long as you have given them breath, Lord God, they have purpose. Hallelujah. You have a work for them to do. And Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that the younger ones will begin to respect the older ones and begin to really hear the words that they are saying. We need to go back to the old landmark, Father God. We need to start praying for our governments like never before, Father God. We need to lay them on your altar, Father God. And we need to start doing, Lord God, what you have called us to do so that you can move in the flow that you have declared and decreed that you will move, Father God. And that is if your people who are called by your name would simply humble themselves, turn from their evil ways, seek your face, Father God. So then you can hear from heaven and you can heal our land. Lord God, we know that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. So we pray against those who are struggling with their fear and their doubt. We pray for those who are feeling as though they are lost and they have no way to turn, where to turn, Father God. We pray that they turn to you today. Lord, we're praying for those that don't know you in the pardon of their sin. Lord, we don't know how they're making it without you. But today we pray that somebody would be your voice. Somebody would be your hand. Somebody would be your feet, oh God. Hallelujah. And bless them with an act of love that will cause them to want to get to know who you are. Lord, continue to use us. Bless us, oh God. Bless the man of God, our bishop, as he brings a mighty rhema word today. Fill him, Father God, so that he will overflow unto your people. And Lord, I pray for every minister and servant leader present here. Bless Apostle Zeta as she goes today and to the ordination. Bless her, oh God, as she goes about her daily life. Bless her, oh God, as she feeds the homeless and she feeds the hungry, Lord God. And just bless her coming out and going in. Bless Minister Gladys. Bless Minister Tina. Bless Mother Mitchell in a mighty way. Bless Pastor Vanessa, Lord God. Bless them for their obedience, Lord. Bless them for their faithfulness, oh God. Bless them in a mighty way because, Lord God, they love you, and I love them, and I want your best for them, Father God. We pray for the governments all over this world. We pray for the exploitation of your people all over this world, Lord God. We know that you can make it right, and we're expecting you to make it right. But until then, Lord, we're going to keep on glorifying you. We're going to keep on praising you. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on serving you, Father God, by your mighty Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for it all, Father God. And we pray it all in the mighty matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yeah. Receive his love today. Brothers and sisters, lend me your ear. Be of good courage, be of good cheer. I hope you find comfort in these words I say. If there is sunshine or if there is rain, if
say it like this.
It is now time for this morning's message. Glory. This morning we are going to be blessed by the man of God in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver. And let me tell you a little something about this brother. He's faithful. Hallelujah. And he loves him some Jesus. So if I were you, and you have not retrieved your Bibles, I would get one. And I would also get something to write with and to write on and prepare yourself for a banquet feast from the man of God, Bishop Lester Carver. Hallelujah and glory to God.
Thank you so much for that, Apostle Cook. I am looking forward to hearing what God has to say to us today, because today God has a word for us that is going to help all of us continue to grow and continue to make room for others to grow who are seeking to develop their relationship with God. Today I'm going to be speaking about perfecting your love walk. And that sounds like such a common idea. It sounds like such a, it can almost sound basic. But the idea of perfecting your love walk applies to every born-again believer, because we are to grow from grace to grace and faith to faith and draw near to the throne of God in all that we do. And it doesn't matter what level of our spiritual development we happen to be at right now at this moment. We all need to perfect our love walk toward perfect our love walk, period. And that love walk, it defines who we are. It defines our relationship with God. And it is what is going to draw others into the body of Christ when they see us perfecting our love walk intentionally. Because, see, in the world has this idea of love that it is some abstract idea. And the Bible tells us that love is real. Love is what you do. And what we're going to look at in the Word is what God is asking us to do so that we can indeed perfect our love walk. There are three specific ways that I want us to consider how we perfect our love walk. One, our love toward God, and our love to ourselves, and our love toward others. Because the law of Christ embodies all three of these elements: loving God, loving ourselves, and loving others. Now, the challenge to these three ideas is our mind, will, and emotions, our feelings. We have to love God past feelings, because there are times when, if we're honest, we judge God. We don't understand God's ways. God allows things to happen that adversely impact us that we don't entirely understand. And that's why we have to study his word, so that we can begin to trust him in all things and understand that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him, because we are called according to his purpose. And see, and that's the thing. When you love God and you understand his purpose for your life, then you're not offended by the ways of God, and you can love God past your feelings, past your emotions. And then the next idea is to learn how to love ourselves, because that is absolutely essential. And you can't love yourself until you love God. So we want to love God first with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And then we want to love ourselves, because, see, if you don't love yourself, then you can't love others. But when you understand how important you are to God, and that it is a requirement, it is mandatory that you love yourself, you have to take inventory and then actually get honest with yourself. Why do you not love yourself as much as God loves you? Why do you not understand how important you are to God and his mission and his purpose? See, God has ordained from the beginning of time that he will dwell with mankind, and mankind will dwell with him. And God has said that you are so important to him and his mission. See, there cannot be a heavenly kingdom of many nations without you. You have to be the one who understands how important you are to God, so then you can appreciate how important you are to you, how important your relationship with yourself is, so that you begin reinforcing those areas that the devil's been chipping away at as long as you've been alive, chipping away at your insecurities, chipping away at those things that you do not believe meet the standard of excellence, or you are not, it is not the way that you would have designed yourself if you designed yourself. But you see, each and every one of us has been created for a specific purpose. We've been designed uniquely so that we can serve in a specific way. And see, when we embrace those things about ourselves that are specific to us, our imperfections, those things that we see as imperfections, because the devil's trying to make us seem like we're less than, instead of appreciating who we actually are and getting past our feelings, past our emotions about ourselves and our shortcomings and all these things, or whatever the world says about us, or whatever some person in your life said about you, you know, decades ago. You have to reject all of that. Reject your understanding of what you think it is, and then just know that it's a command of God that you love yourself, because it is absolutely necessary, because until you love yourself, you're not going to be able to embrace this last piece, which is loving others. And loving others is where the power of God is manifest in the earth. The idea is that God gives us the power when he places his Holy Spirit within us. When we show our love toward him, we reciprocate our love toward him by making his son, Jesus Christ, our master and Lord. And when we do that, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And at that time, when that happens, we have the ability to truly love ourselves. We have the ability to love others. And that love for others extends even toward our enemies, which is a profound thing, because we know where God says, we know that God says in Matthew 5 that we are to bless those who curse us, to love our enemies, to do good to those who are basically just wishing the worst on us, right? And when we get to that point where we are spiritually mature enough to love even our enemies, that's when the power of God is manifest in our life. And so the question becomes, well, why do we need to love in such an extreme way? Well, first of all, because it pleases God. And that is our hope in all things, is that we please God. But secondly, loving allows us to eliminate fear, because we know that the Word of God tells us that the love of God casts out fear. And see, the reason that's important is because fear brings torment. And
yes,
God does not want us to be tormented. God wants us to be at peace. God wants us to be secure. God wants us to be confident so that we're not misrepresenting him in the earth. See, when we go out into the world, we're not going out on a maybe. We're going out on a command that God says, whatever we put our hands to, we'll prosper. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to pay for all of our sins, to pay for our physical wholeness and restoration, so that we can live a more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and then extend that to others so that they can see that this is real. See, love is not abstract. Love is real. Okay. Love is what you do. And God says that he wants our faith to be profitable, right? What we do for God has a profit when we do it God's way. And God says, whatever we do, if we do it without love, it is of no profit to us, right? There is no reward in doing things if you're not doing them in love. So we need to know what this is. What does God say about this, right? The third item I want to point out is that we want to love because the devil roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? And he's roaring because he's looking for that response of fear, because that response of fear tells him that there's an underdeveloped love walk there. That response of fear is telling the devil that, hey, you know what? Lester's not loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lester's not loving himself. Lester's not loving others. Maybe I can get at Lester right now and see if I can devour him.
Well, that's right.
Whenever Lester feels fear, Lester has to say, hey, how am I in need of strengthening my love walk so that I can get past my feelings toward God that are not quite right, so that I can get past my feelings
toward myself that are not quite right, so that I can get past my feelings toward others that are not quite right, so that I'm not on the devil's radar of those whom he may devour. See,
come on.
When
that's
you
right.
are loving God, loving yourself, and loving others, you're not in that category of those whom the devil may devour. You're free of
that's
that.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, your role at that point is delivering others by bringing
that's
them
right.
into the knowledge and understanding and the confidence and the reality of what you already know and are walking in as a child of God, right? So
that's
how
right.
do we do
Amen.
This? How do we do this? Well, the how is it starts by humbling ourselves to God and submitting
yeah.
ourselves to his will, because God says that when we humble ourselves in prayer
mm-hmm.
to him, that he will exalt us at the appointed time.
Appointed
so
time.
No matter what
Amen.
You're like right now, right? You're like, I'm doing everything that's right, and I'm going through, and everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy
yeah.
because I don't have, and yet I'm at peace. And yet I'm
yeah.
doing everything God wants me to do, and it just feels so uncomfortable, and people think I'm a fool. And
oh,
you know
yeah.
what? It's not about what people think. It's not about
Come
what
on.
It looks like. Your submission to God and your humility to God is showing your confidence in God's promise that he is going to exalt you at the appointed time. So,
Amen.
It requires endurance. It requires perseverance. All of those things it talks about in Romans 5, where it says we glory in tribulation because we know that tribulations brings and produces
yes.
in our life.
Yeah. Thank
and
you,
hope.
Jesus.
Makes us unashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, right? That's why perfecting our love walk is so essential because, see,
yeah.
the love of God being shed abroad in our heart makes us immune. We live in this
yeah.
environment right now. Everybody's afraid of the latest and greatest virus that's going to kill us today. It's going to kill us all.
yeah.
And we're looking for a vaccine, right? Well, you know what the vaccine for fear is? The vaccine for fear is love.
if
you're afraid, if you're tormented, right, the vaccine spiritually for that is your love walk toward God, your love walk toward yourself, and your love walk toward others. And when you know you're spiritually immune, you are not in the category of those whom the devil may devour. You can look at the devil and laugh and say, are you showing up to me to do it?
Well,
in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. And then God's going to get glory because, see, we don't back down from the devil. When we humble ourselves to God,
we're not backing down from him.
Before us. No one to us.
Come on, bro. Come on,
bitch. That's why we have to understand, and that's the other thing. After we humble ourselves to the word of God by submitting to his will for our life, then we have to delight in God's word, and then God gives us the desires of our heart, meaning that God's desires become our desire. And when our desire is in line with God's desires, then God desires that we live a more than abundant life. God
yeah.
desires that we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, right?
Yeah, hallelujah.
Spirit, not of fear, but of power, a spirit of love and a spirit of a
yeah,
sound mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's God's desires, right? And so when we understand that it's God's desire for us to prosper and be in health, God desires
yeah.
that we live more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. Those things are God's desires. And when we are reading God's word, we are delighting
yeah.
in his word because he's showing us how he did it in the past, thousands of years ago. He's showing us
mm-hmm.
how he's doing it in our present life. And he's showing us what he's setting us up for in the future. See, only God knows the future.
Teach
and
now.
He is sharing with us the future in the word so that we can be confident and take joy and delight in his word, right?
Yeah.
So now the third thing to love God is to obey God. That's
yeah.
how
Amen.
We love God. Yeah.
Yes,
when we
God.
Delight in God's word, we do what God says because we know it is a benefit to us. It's profitable to us, and it pleases God, right? Now,
yes.
And it is able to truly deliver others, because after people get tired of running around in circles, of being on the treadmill, of doing everything they're supposed to be doing but going nowhere, right? Then they start looking to those who are really, really obeying God, really studying God's word, really submitting to God's will, not putting on a show for others, needing the appointed time to be right now all the time. That's
not how it works.
And if somebody tells you how it works, they're lying to you. And that is what the devil uses to dishearten people, to convince them that the word of God and the promises of God aren't real, because they're not being trained to wait for the appointed time. They're judging people based on what they see. When God tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to reject our understanding, reject what we see, and then just trust God. And it says when we do that, that he will order our steps. He will guide us. He will make it so that we're protected. So I want to start today in the scripture, in the word, and I want to start in John chapter 13. And I want to start at the point where Jesus Christ had washed his disciples' feet. And this is an important place, because Jesus Christ gave us an example of what we're to do when it comes down to perfecting a love walk. And it's, you know, it's a challenging thing. I'll tell you that there were times where I had the opportunity in the past, a long time ago, to partake in church and in foot washing at my church, and I just didn't.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't spiritually, right? But when I look back on it, I regret not doing that, because there's something to be learned in that kind of Christian
humility.
Right? So look at what it says in verse 12. I'm going to be reading from verses 12 to 6 to 17 in the New King James Version of John chapter 13. It says, "So when he, Jesus, had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things,
blessed
are you if you do them," right? And see, it's one thing to know what the word says. It's another thing to do what the word says, right?
Yes.
And remember what
right.
I said, love not being abstract. Love is real. Love is what you do. Well, in order to do what pleases God, you have to know what pleases God. And that's why we have to study God's word, so that we can get to a knowledge of what to do, so that we're not just blind, staying busy, getting on the treadmill and everything that somebody that you should do today in order to please God. And normally these people are trying to get you into the trap of pleasing people, serving money, leaning to your own understanding, and operating out of your own limited strength and ability. When God is trying to restore you and set you free by teaching you how to please him instead of pleasing people, how to serve him instead of serving money, how to trust him instead of leaning to your own understanding, and how to operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. So I want to go down now in John chapter 13 to verses 31 to 35. And look at what Jesus Christ says. He says, and he's giving them a new commandment. He says, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified.'" And God, and when he says he's gone out, I wanna stop right there for a minute. This is at the point where Judas Iscariot went out to betray Jesus Christ, and he went out in order to
teach, Bishop.
Right? And Jesus Christ knew this, right? So now when we talk about love, right?
Yeah.
He's starting there. He just washed his feet along with all the other disciples' feet. And then he said, whatever you're going to do, go out and do it quickly, right? And the other disciples didn't know what was going on. But look at what he says, Jesus Christ, here in verse 31 to 35. He says, so when he had gone out, when Judas Iscariot had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you.
Hallelujah.
You may love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples
love one another.
See, we are identified as the disciples, the disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, if we have love for one another, right? But many times, and I can tell you, in modern Christianity, we have some growing up to do. We have some challenges. We have to catch up to what what Jesus Christ has told us to do in terms of loving one another, because right now, at this period in time, the body of Christ is chopped up into so many different denominations and groups and schisms. And it is not one body. It does not have one head that is committed to Jesus Christ as the head of the body. As a matter of fact, they create their own little chiefdoms and kingdoms and all this with the people they serve. God tells us to regard no man. One plant, one water. God gives the increase, and only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the head of the body of Christ.
That's right.
So now, if we're to be effective members of the body of Jesus Christ, we have to let all these old ideas go away. We have to let them disappear. Celebrating the past of man and men and people and what they say is important, because what they say is important just doesn't count. It doesn't count.
It's hard
to receive, but I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not here to make friends. Neither
Come
should
on,
you be.
Say that.
Right? On the devil's list of those whom the devil may devour, right? We want to set those people free, so that they can rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can show the power of God in the earth, so that people aren't—they're not in that category of people who are just operating, but without they're denying the power of God. They have a form of godliness.
Come on,
the power thereof, right? No, we operate in the fullness of the power of God because we obey God. With our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we love ourselves and we love others, and we do it intentionally because we know what? You know what? We can't do anything else unless we're doing that.
That's right.
Everything else you do, if you do it without love, is unprofitable. There is no reward to you now or in eternity, and you're defaming the name of God. You're out there saying, God this, God that, God this, God that, and no power is behind it. Right? So look at what it says here. I'd like for you to turn at Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to be reading from verses 37 to 39, and we're going to be reading about what Jesus said here. He says in verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'll tell you something. And we've all heard this scripture before, right? But because of the way that it's written, many of us don't hear the last part of that scripture. What we hear is we need to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that makes, or not strength, but we add that, but with our heart, soul, and mind. And then the second part where it says you shall love your neighbor, we hear those two things. But then we don't hear the as you love yourself, because really the order is you love God, you love yourself, and then you love others, because you can't love others until you love yourself, right? But we see that, well, one, the devil has clouded our understanding in many cases to make it feel selfish to love yourself. When really, if God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin and be beat for your physical wholeness and restoration so that you can live a more than abundant life, right? That is for you, so that you then can be effective in creating the heavenly kingdom of many nations and going out and reconciling the world back to God and giving them what God just gave you, right? Restoration, freedom, wholeness, love, right? So you have to love God, then you have to love yourself, and then you love your neighbor because you can. Because you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. But many people, what they end up doing is they do all these things. And they do these things in order to help other people. And that's not a bad thing, right? But if you're helping others and neglecting yourself, you're not obeying the will of God. You're not doing what God has told you to do. So think of it like this. When you're in an airplane, and if the airplane is having technical problems, they tell you to put your own mask on first and then help somebody else. Because you can't help somebody else if you can't breathe.
Come on, preach, Bishop. Tell the truth.
Think of it like that. It's that real. If you don't help yourself, there is no help in somebody else, right? As a matter of fact, you'll both go down together. I'll share with you an example.
Well,
there was a time.
Either y'all both go down together.
My brother, he was out on this raft at summer camp, and we all had to come in for a buddy check, and he stayed out on the raft because he was afraid to swim in by himself because we swam out there together. And the counselor didn't want to let me go out there. And I said, he's not going to come back unless I go out there. And he said, well, go out there and get him. But he said, he can swim back on side of you, but don't get too close to him and don't let him touch you. Right. And I didn't understand why he was saying that, but I went out and I told my brother, come on in. You can swim back right on side of me, but you can't touch me. And that's what the counselor said. So we're swimming back to shore. And sure enough, I got too close to him as we're swimming together back to the shore. And he stopped to see if he could touch the bottom, and he couldn't. And he put his arms around my neck and pulled me all the way to the bottom. And now
my feet are
in the bottom of this lake, and he's up at the top, and I have to calm down in order for both of us to prevent from drowning. I learned at that point why you don't get too close to a person who is drowning themselves, because they will put their hands on your neck and kill you.
Right.
And that's why when we're ministering to others, we have to obey God and put them in God's hands. We have to give them to God. We have to present them to Jesus
Christ
so that Jesus Christ can present them to God so that God can give them everything they need, right? But when we make ourselves fire, we're doing work we haven't been called to do.
Stay in our lane.
Down to the bottom of the lake ourselves, and that is not God's will for us.
We
have to get to the point where we truly love God and then begin to trust him, and to the extent that we say, you know what, this is in your hands, and I know that God has something good for you, and I'm going to give you whatever he gives me to give you.
Right.
So look at what it says here in Galatians. I want you to turn to Galatians, and we're going to be reading from verses 13 to 15, and this is going to speak to an issue that we run into in the body of Christ, because we don't often give one another room to grow. The reason we have a million different denominations is because somebody read somewhere something that they thought was more important than something else in the Bible, and then they got a whole bunch of other people to agree with them, and then they decided they were going to all celebrate this one thing on their own. That's called idolatry. And so look at what it says here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Only do use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh, as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See, he's
yes.
telling us what to do. He's telling us to serve one another through love. It's really simple,
yes.
right? Ephesians 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself, yes.
Beware one another. Beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Now, I want to share with you an example, a personal example. I was at one time a part of a church, and they believed something slightly different than what I had been taught. I'm not going to go into all that, but while I was in this Sunday school class, I was sitting there, and they would read exactly what the Bible said, and then they come right behind what they just read and say something else because that's what their organization believed. And then when things, God gave me the wisdom to say, you know what? Whenever they read what the word says, you just stand up and say, you know what? That's very interesting. Look at what it says here. And he said, just read exactly what is there. Don't say anything more, anything less. Just read exactly what's there. What happened over time was not only did people also celebrate what was there with me, they had me teaching the class.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, if we bite and devour one another, he's telling us here, and this is the Apostle Paul, he's telling us, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And that is the body of Christ devouring one another. So think of it in terms of your body having cancer, right? That is your body's own cells turning on itself and devouring your own body, right?
Well,
when we do religious chop, 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 chopping the body of Christ up into all these
right.
different denominations, right? We are biting and devouring ourselves, and we're being consumed by one another, and the devil's winning.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to up our love walk. We have to perfect our love walk. We can't be afraid. I remember once there was a minister who was so moved by our conversation around morning breakfast. He was going to come with me to a class and a service, and he backed out at the last minute because he said, well, goodness, if I come to this class, what are my congregants going to think? What are the other people in my congregation going to think? And you know what? He kept himself from learning more because he was
yeah.
worried about what other people were going to think.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
And this is a learned, degreed, ordained man of God who was provoked in order to seek more truth. And we should never let us ourselves get to the point where we think we know it all.
Come on.
You're never going to know it. You're never getting to that place. God's going to give you what you need to know when you need to know
it. That's right.
So that you can have the effect that you need to have in the world. You can have the impact you need to have in the world. And it's not about celebrating somebody else's ideas about what they think is important in the Bible or not.
Come on. Come on.
You, right? Because love is real. And
yeah.
when you do what God has a reward to go with that. He's not wasting time, right? He's not asking you to gamble on a chance to go to heaven.
Come on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
God's trying to get heaven out of you. But if you don't love
That's
him,
right.
if you don't love yourself and you don't love others, you can forget it. And you might make it in heaven, but it'll be without a reward. You'll be greater than John the Baptist, but you'll be among those who are counted as least in the kingdom of God, right? And there is a least in the kingdom of God. You
want to
be that? You want to be in eternity as the least in the kingdom of God for real?
Nope.
I'm not teaching this so you can end up in that category, right? That's worse than being walking around here, being in that group of those whom he may devour. If you're saying,
yeah, amen.
You an end game now.
That's your love walk. And start by praying to God more. Start by studying your Bible more. Start by speaking in your heavenly prayer language more. Start by fellowshipping with like-minded believers more. And then watch God work in your life so that you pray secretly, you fast secretly, you do your good deeds secretly, and God rewards you openly. And then you forgive people openly, and then you know God has forgiven you. So now you're not hating yourself. You're not trying to undo things that you did whenever you did them. And you're saying you're receiving the power of the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ for all your sins by coming in agreement with God saying it was enough. And when you don't do that, what you're saying is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ was not sufficient, and you got to add something to that. You can't add anything to the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But God wouldn't have the only begotten Son to die for you in your sin and your physical wholeness. That wouldn't have to happen. So now I want you to go to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 5 so that you can get a picture of what he's asking us to do, because this is real. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let everyone examine his own, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." And see, on the foundation of Christ, we're all going to build what we build. Some of us will build in gold, silver, and precious stones. That's doing God's things God's way. Some of us will build in hay, straw, and stubble, or wood, straw, and stubble, and those works will be consumed in the fire, and that's basically doing God's works our way. And some of us will do God's works our way sometimes, and God's works God's way sometimes. That's called a partial reward. And so my thing is, in that day, whatever you build, however you build on the foundation of Christ, it's going to be tested. It's going to be tried. It's either going to be your benefit or to your loss. And so we're sharing this now so that you can be in that category of those who have a full reward, right? Because your heart is directed toward God to please God, serve God, trust God, obey God, and love God. Love yourself and love others as a command of God. Yes, he gave you free will so that your love is absolute. Your love is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Walking in love causes a child of God to voluntarily, willingly, and enthusiastically obey God and be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, hallelujah.
That's the difference.
That's right.
Because you go through mechanics and say, oh, well, if I do A, B, and C, then I'll get this, right? Well, he's saying, you know what? You want to voluntarily, willingly, and enthusiastically obey God, and that's going to mean that sometimes you're going to do some things you don't want to do, and you're going to have to renew your mind, and you're going to have to reorient your will to God's will, get past yourself, and say, you know what? It was a hard hit, and I'm going to look silly dealing with this person over here. Since they slapped me in my right cheek, but now I got to turn my left cheek.
Right. I ain't really feeling all that, but
I've already agreed to go 1 mile, and now they're going to require me to
go two,
right? Do it in love, right? He's saying, this is a thing we really don't get enough teaching about in the body of Christ, is God says we're to do all things without complaining and murmuring.
Come
right?
on.
And I'll tell you, I'm convicted. Because as we practice that, right? As we practice not complaining and not murmuring, God is perfecting our lives. When we learn to just shut our mouth. Now, you won't think it. Just because you think it don't mean you got to allow that mess to come out of your mouth.
That's right.
You can't bring it with nonsense when you let nonsense come out of your mouth. And I've been guilty of this, and I repent. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I repent.
To come up, right? So now I want to end right here. I want to end and land where Jesus Christ prayed for all of us over 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus Christ prays to God for you, you've been prayed for, and what he said is going to come to pass.
Yes.
I want you to I want you to look. And you know what? Man, I feel like I'm pressed for time here.
No, you're not.
How much? Okay, if I am not pressed for time, what I would like to do, and I believe we did this. Oh, yes. I'm going to look. I'm going to go just a little further here. What it says in Galatians chapter 6 from verse 6 to 10. Look at what it says. And it tells us to be generous and do good. In verse 6, it says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap.
For he, amen.
The reap of the flesh, corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, at the appointed time, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So that is to be our marker, that we're doing good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. But then while we're doing good, we're not to grow weary while doing good. And understand that appointed time is there, right? So that's where the humility comes in. While we're doing good, we have to patiently endure tribulation and whatever that doing good. You know, in the world, they got this thing. They said, no good deed shall go unpunished. A lot of times while you're doing good, you're trying to help somebody else who's in very real trouble. And and God says, don't grow weary in doing good. He says, in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Become a component. Because, see, when we're glorying in tribulation, while everybody's just looking at us and shaking their heads and saying, what a fool. If he spent more time working and less time preaching, he'd be in a better financial position. Maybe.
Well, Lord Jesus,
it all depends on where you're storing your riches. My riches are stored where they can be touched.
What you trying to do? Hallelujah. Say that, Bishop.
What I have.
Say that, Bishop.
And that causes you not to lose heart. See, when your reward is where it should be, then you can't even count that because you just move.
Right.
You let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. And you're like,
right.
I'm further away from that category of those who are the least in the kingdom of God to every day because I'm doing what God has given me to do.
That's where
we're going to spend eternity. So I want to put this thing in perspective, right? You spent 9 months in your mother's womb being prepared to live 70 to 100 years, 120 years on earth, right? Now, God has your soul in this body for 70 to 120 years being prepared to live in eternity. And the question is, how do you want to spend it? You want to spend eternity in that category of people of the least in the kingdom of heaven?
No.
Or even worse?
No.
You want to spend eternity in that category of people with a partial reward, knowing you could add a full reward? God knows what you're going to do, right? But it's what you believe to do. When things get hard, where do you go, right? Do you lose heart? But as you study God's word, as you speak in tongues, as you pray with your understanding, as you fellowship with like-minded believers, your inner man is going to get built up, and what you're going to find is that you're not going to grow weary. You're not going to lose heart. You're going to be focused on God. And then you're going to know God's love for you is as real as your love for him. God's love for you is as real as your love for him, and your love for him is manifested in yourself and your love toward others. And you got to get to that point. So the believers around you are there to help to give you room to grow, not to beat you down when they see you.
That's right.
Stumble. And see, those who are spiritual are to lift you up. They're to restore you. They're to give you rest in Jesus Christ by saying, you know what, you might not understand everything in the Bible today, but the more you keep reading, the more you understand, and I don't have to debate with you at all. In fact, I can show you, because you know what? People are looking more at what you do than listening to what you say.
Come on. You better tell somebody.
People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Because real. And now I'm going to end the teaching, and I thank you for the additional time in allowing me to go there where Jesus prays for us 2,000 years ago. Now, if Jesus is praying to God, you know that prayer is being answered. So listen to what it says in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 25. It says, Jesus Christ says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that's us, that they all one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the
Hallelujah.
World may believe. Right now, I'm going to stop here for a minute to show you a couple things. One, he says that those who believe in him through our word, that we all may be one, that's his desire. As God is in him and he is in God, that we may be one in them, one in us, right? That the world may believe you sent me, that God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And here's what it says, and this is what's important. Remember earlier when we read where Jesus Christ said that he who is sent is not greater than he who sent him, right?
Right.
We have to understand that, and it says, now I'm gonna continue here. Look at verse 22. And the glory which you, God, gave me, Jesus Christ, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Well, how is that oneness manifested? How is that oneness realized? Well, when Jesus Christ was on earth, it was God in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. But now that Jesus Christ has been crucified, dead in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, raised from the dead by God, seated at the right hand of God, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth by God, had the Holy Spirit sent to dwell within you and I after 4,000 years of not being in mankind, being accessible,
my Lord. Hallelujah.
So that we can reconcile the world back to God. God, that's how we're one again, right? Just like it was God and reconciling the world back to God. Now it's God in Christ and Christ in us through the power of the Holy Spirit reconciling the world back to God. That's our job, because God's purpose is to create a heavenly kingdom of many nations, because he determined that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him in perfect peace. That's what we're working toward. That's what we're doing. That's what it's all about. And that's why love is essential. Our love walk is critical to making this happen, right? So now he says, and the glory which you have given, which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, he's speaking to God, and have loved them as you have loved me. See, God loves us as much as he loved his Son, Jesus Christ, just as he
loves Hallelujah.
24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And see, that's what we have to get to. We're sharing with others the reality that God sent his only begotten Son to pay for their sin by his own death, burial, and resurrection, and to pay for their physical wholeness with his broken body when he was beat three times before being nailed to a cross and
Amen.
Stabbed in the spear and crucified. And it says at the end, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. So if you want to see Christ in you, perfect your love walk toward God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And perfect your love walk toward others. Apostle Cook, with that, I want to hand it all right back over to you and thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with God's people today.
Oh, glory to God. That was a rhema of words right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bishop, we want to thank you for that rhema word. God bless you, man of God. That's what that was on time. Yeah. Now, you have heard about God's love for you. So what I'm going to ask right now is, how much do you love him? You see, if you want to start this love walk, you must first be connected to the one that loves you best, the one that loves you first, and the one that loves you most, and that is Jesus. So right now, I'm going to ask Minister Tina to come in and lead our brothers and sisters who desire to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ in the invitation. And that will be followed by Minister Gladys, who will pray for our new converts. Amen. Minister Tina, come into the room, please, babe.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful service today. Thank you so much, Bishop Carver. If you are listening right now and you heard all the wonderful things that Bishop Carver just talked about, and it touched your heart to where you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all you have to do is say this prayer with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I come to you in prayer asking for the forgiveness of my sins.
Yeah.
I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross at Calvary. I may be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven with you, Heavenly Father. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I ask you right now to come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen and amen. If you said that prayer, we want to be, on behalf of Minister Tina, Bishop Carver, and the entire Spirit of Life family, we want to be one of the first to say, welcome to the family of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We are so glad that you are here. Just know that we pray that first and foremost, you get yourself into a local church, get around fellow believers that love the Lord with all their hearts so that they can teach you and help you to grow up in the things of God. And then we want you to study to show yourself approved. Hallelujah. Because the more you know, the more you grow. And all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to come in.
Yes.
And teach you the things of God. So we just are so blessed by, and I know some chains were broken. I heard some chains and yokes falling off this morning in my spirit. Hallelujah. And I just want to say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Minister Gladys, come in and please pray for our new convert.
Good morning. Thank
you. Good morning.
Lord, we're thanking you this morning, Father God, for the new converts, Father God.
Yeah.
We know the angels are rejoicing on this morning. There's a gladness, Father God, and we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the joy and the peace that they're going to embark, Father God, Lord. We ask that you keep your angels of protection all around and about them, Father God, Lord, and that you would guide their footsteps, God, Lord, that you would send an anointed, appointed person to guide them through the scriptures,
Lord. Please,
Lord. Continue to teach them how to live and how to love, Father God. Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
God, Lord, we just thank you this morning, Father God, Lord, for the newcomers, Lord, and for the newness that is about to embark upon.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father. We thank you. We lift you up. We magnify your name, and we give you the highest praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Gladys. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Hallelujah. We still have a few moments left, and if you are in our sanctuary this morning, hallelujah, or in our chat room this morning, and you would like to have a word of praise, if you are in the sanctuary, kindly press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. If you are in the chat room, hallelujah, and you would like to just say hallelujah, praise God, if you would type that, I will relay that to Bishop Carver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a service, what a time, what a time, what a time. And we have just truly been blessed by the man of God speaking about perfecting our love walk. Hallelujah. And it's real. When you get right down to it, it's just real simple. Love God, love God's people, obey God, and serve God's people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So at this time, if there be no, oh, hallelujah. Here we go. We have area code 415-9967. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the service.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you, Lester Carver, especially. That was a wonderful talk on about the love walk and you know, Zeta Flowers and Miss Tina and everyone else. It's a joy to hear conviction, and it really did help me today. I very much appreciate everything that you've all said, and I appreciate your time.
Oh, God bless you, Marty. We love you, precious one.
Yes.
We love you very much. God bless you, angel.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you
for wanting to learn. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, this is what it's all about, just blessing others to be a blessing, encouraging others so that they might go out and encourage someone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just paying it forward. We glorify God in all that we do, and we know that he will get the increase, he will get the honor and the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. So if there be nothing else, hallelujah, we will have Mother Mitchell come and bring our benediction. I'll do it. Never mind. We will do our benediction, and I will dismiss you. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Hallelujah. We praise God that you all came out to listen today. We pray that you will continue to have an abundantly beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and we pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, you can catch our anointed bishop again. Hallelujah, as he and his wife brings God's great love for us. Hallelujah. He's good at this one. He's really, really on point with this one. He's just good, period. But he really got this love walk thing down. You know what I mean? He's got that down. So come out and join him tomorrow for God's great love for us, him and his beautiful wife. And then he does his Tuesday teaching on Tuesday evening. So look, the pastor just started the week off with a bang, so let's just keep it moving. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So we just pray that you have a wonderful week. God bless you. You are dismissed. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, everybody
that
listened.
Mr. Carver.
I love you.
Thank you, everyone. I love you.
We love
God
you.
Bless
you were phenomenal. I love everybody in the studio.
Yes.
I see you. God bless you.
Love you. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you.